It's Tuesday evening, May 10th.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our time together. Your spirit would flow, your truth would flow, and that we would have ears for your truth. For your spirit.
Amen. One of the things that are different as a church started on the day of Pentecost, it says there was a rushing mighty wind, and I think it said they were all filled with the Spirit, doesn't it? There were 120 people.
I believe it does. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was cloven tongues on each one of them. Cloven means like a deer's hoof, I think, doesn't it?
Forks.
Yeah.
Split.
Yeah. And it settled on each one of them, and they began to speak in tongues. Now, the question is, I think it says unknown tongues, doesn't it, or doesn't it? Or what does it say?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. It's about
Acts 2. Two something. Chapter 2, early on.
Speak with other tongues. 2:4. Acts 2:4.
Filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues.
Now, there's a lot of people that are not that concerned about it, and I have not been over the last few years until I begin to realize what we're talking about. We're talking about a language between us and God.
2:4.
And the Bible says, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And when I heard that voice that morning, and that was only the beginning of realizing that it's important that we hear every voice, every word, everything that is said. And as a matter of fact, as I read in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, about the weapons of our warfare, not being carnal, but are mighty through God. I realize that I have never thought about us using heavy weapons. But the Bible plainly tells us that we are to use weapons. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I don't know that I had much of an impact or yet. An effect on the war over in Ukraine, but some crazy things happened that made me think that I might have, and that maybe others like me might have been having a problem or having an effect on it. I'll tell you why. In the 4th chapter of John, there's a little story I had you a minute ago. It's a story about Jesus going through Samaria, and he landed in a little town called Sychar, and there was a well at Sychar, and anyway, there was a Samaritan woman there, and he asked her to give him some water. And she says, "How is it that you, being a Jew, would ask drink of a woman of Samaria? Because you have no dealings with the Samaritans." And so anyway, and that is, you know, one of the things that I said. But he says, in verse 24, And this is where, this is one of those things where the wording is just a little bit different in King James. It says God is a spirit, but it does not say that in other translations. It says God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, it tells us, now these are important things, even though it might be something we'd like to not talk about, but anything in the scripture is something we talk about. You know what I mean? In 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, when I was introduced to the Lord, one of the first things that happened to me was to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And I didn't even know anything about it. I didn't know what it was. And when we first started as a church, we get the scriptures in the book of Acts a lot, where they spoke with other tongues, and there, you know, there's, what are there, five or six places, you know. Peter introduced the gospel and the speaking in tongues to the Jews on the day of Pentecost. He introduced it to the Gentiles in the 10th chapter of Acts through the household of Cornelius. And he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, this is verse 4, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, images, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Now, we could look at some of those in the book of Acts if anybody wants to. But it's like, I was going to have one of you guys look in and start looking so we could hit him right off the bat. I know one of them is in the 19th chapter, and I think that's the church of, or the household of Cornelius. Acts 19. No, that's not it. That's one of them, but that's not the one. And verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hand on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied, and all of them were about 12. Did they all speak with tongues?
That looks that way.
But do you suppose they did or not? Do you suppose it's that big of an issue?
Well,
you know what? It is that big of an issue.
Yeah, I don't think it's minor.
Yeah, it's a major thing. And
where was this at?
Oh, I'm in John. It should be in
John. Okay. Yeah.
19:6.
Yeah. I
laid hands. Holy Ghost came on them and they spoke.
What have I got?
They spoke. I got face to speak the tongues. Just speak the tongues. Prophesied.
What do I got here, Chuck? I It got me sitting at a strange angle for some reason.
Yeah, it happens a number of times there in the book of Acts, but
yep.
They were prayed for them, they got filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they spoke with tongues. But I did think that our service on Sunday was interesting. You would expect it to be a matter of focus more frequently throughout the epistles rather than just there in 1 Corinthians 14. Now, I don't know what the explanation for that is, but the fact is.
Well, do we want the truth? Or do we? Does it matter?
Well, yeah, we sure better watch the truth.
And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, it says. So, I usually could figure out where these scriptures are, but I write them like yet.
Yeah. Don Barnett could rip them out for you.
Well, yeah, well, we used to be able to.
Keith, you
and when we did, all kinds of people got filled with the Holy Spirit. And Brittany and the little girls did. I think a lot of them were through Gene. Gene praying with them. And my boys all did. And then we came down to the Pentecostal Assembly. We got home and they had me teach a course. It was a Pentecostal church. Nobody, very few could speak in tongues. But they got filled with the Spirit and spoke in tongues, but then they lost the tongues. And the tongues are a major part of our relationship with God. And that's why, like when I, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, or the 14th chapter, is that important or not?
Well, all of that is important.
Well, it says
prophesying is as important as tongues, right?
Yeah.
Actually, it's more important if you're gathered together.
He speaks in an unknown tongue. It speaks not unto men, but unto God. He that speaks in an unknown tongue. It says unknown in here. In an unknown tongue. I had an argument, or not an argument, but with Brittany over that scripture. But it does say an unknown tongue. Speaks not unto men, but unto God, for the man understands him. Albeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Who's he speaking to? When you speak in tongues, who are you speaking to? And it would appear that Paul was kind of downplaying tongues. And then he says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. So does it have a purpose? Is it useful? Or am I just talking about something that's not important?
Well, it's useful to the one who's talking. And that's probably the only one that's going to be useful for.
Well, anyway,
right.
Here's the thing, Glenn. We have made it a very difficult thing. But it's not. Because we don't do it anyway. God does.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, here's my thoughts. I know the tongues are real. I've done it. I've prayed in tongues for years. But I also know that if God gives it, it's not a hard thing to do. But we have made it a hard thing to do. Rodney, when he used to be married to Betty, there was a couple that came around the area, and they were at our church a couple of times, and they had the easy way to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And I didn't agree with them. But you know what? Rodney and Betty both got filled with the Spirit.
I need to know what's an easy way and what's a hard way.
Their way was easy.
Why?
Just use some words.
Let's go blah 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 blah.
Just do some things. And the next thing you know, it becomes a language.
Actually, I did it by myself, but I had been told or read to do something like that, and that's what got me going too. Although the first time I prayed, I didn't receive, and I thought, Lord, is there something in me that's off? And right away, I got convicted that I wanted to get it so I could show my brother-in-law.
Yeah, that's right. A pride thing.
And so I repented immediately. I mean, he convicted me. I repented, and in the next 5 minutes, I received the gift.
But I'm saying, I believe it's a lot easier than what we think. Especially since God is the one that does it. And he wants you to speak in tongues. Because what happens is through your... Well, let me read what it says here in the 14th chapter.
1 Corinthians?
Yes, 1 Corinthians. I'm going to wreck my Bible with it. I'm going to throw it at you. I'm in a long chapter, no wonder.
Looking for verse 18? 14:18?
In verse 18, he says, I think, my God, I speak with tongues more than all. And you all do. Yeah, and see, what we're doing is we're talking about if we all spoke in tongues in the church, it's not going to benefit anybody unless there's an interpretation. Because nobody will understand it. But what goes on right now, it says, when you come together, brethren, how is it? And that's the only thing in the scriptures anywhere that I know of. It gives us a format for a church service. In other words, it's not a pastor thing. It's not a teacher thing. It's a church thing. When you come together, Corky, you have this. Charlie, you have something. Ken, you have something. Glenn, you have something. That's what it's talking about. And you know what happens? Every time that one of you guys says something, it benefits the rest of the people that are there. And we don't realize it because we're looking for some great big philosophy or some great big truth or something. And it doesn't happen. And we heard a lot of the things from Pablo. And because he'd been real bold to tell about his problems, you know. And so, confess your faults to one another. Does that make a difference? Here's Charlie that's been saved for 100 years. And so he shares some of his difficulties. And a brand new person coming in and listens to it, and they say, you mean he still got those problems? they benefit from it. Not that it's good to have the problem, but I'm saying they know that we're human. We're all, you know, we're all alike. That's why it says Elijah was a man of like passions. And he prayed for 3.5 years and that it wouldn't rain on Israel, and it didn't rain. And then when it rained, it really rained. But he was a man of like passions. Jezebel scared the daylights out of him, and he ran like a chicken. You know, like a scared chicken. And yeah, let all things be done unto edifying. Well, the services we have are the only services that I have ever been in that are like they are. And I realize the value of them. And I can get in the most trouble because I'm a little bit bolder at some of these things, but there's a scripture here. I'm trying to find it. If I pray in tongues, verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. You see what that's saying? You don't pray in tongues for your understanding. You pray in tongues because it's a God-given gift. It associates us with Him. And I don't know that there's anybody that has not prayed in tongues and felt the effect of it. If a man prays in an unknown tongue, it edifies him. You know, edify means edifice. It builds him up.
What's a gift I don't have?
You know what?
You're very far away from it.
No, it's not very far from you. That's what I'm trying to... there was a time when I don't know that there was hardly anybody in our church that didn't speak in tongues. Do you remember Gordy Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember about him?
I wasn't. You know what? Forgive me if this is really off. I wasn't never really sure he was fulfilled in speaking in tongues because he only spoke three
syllables
all the time.
Yeah. And the kids used to mock him. And
but who knows?
But you know what? As I talked to him and as he prayed and stuff, I had no doubt that something was going on.
I figured, well, we all have our own language.
Yeah. Well, if he was, and I don't want to talk about the Norwegians, but somebody said the Norwegian dictionary only has, what, 4 words?
There you go.
That's not true, is it, Chuck?
It's not true.
Ufta, Yasher, and what else?
Ludicrous.
Yeah, we're kind of teasing about it, but
I do want to make a comment, kind of for Josh's benefit. I do think, because of the way the enemy works, the more you know scripturally before you have the gift, it's harder because
it is
because the natural mind gets in there, and if you're serious about God, you're not going to play games. So you're not going to go off and sound like some idiot, and you're not going to do it yourself. So you basically end up holding yourself back from something that God will do in you because you're throwing out a fleece. You're throwing out a fleece. I'll do this, but I want to be darn sure it's you, Lord.
Yep.
And so...
That's true.
And so you, well, and we know how well that works. There's only one example where I saw a guy throw out a fleece, and God felt it was important enough to prove to him that he was still on the right track. So when you don't, two things, don't get condemned, and understand how the enemy can try and condemn you over this. So as we pound away as how wonderful it is, and how great it is, and how important it is, and you don't have something, and you can't control it, it's not up to you. And then you say, okay, well, I want to be really sure that I'm not being falling down for the angel of light. You know? The newborn can come in and say, you need this, and you don't know enough stuff to prevent yourself from getting that gift. If you've been around a while and it just hasn't happened, the flesh man could get in the way of the spirit man. Just be conscious.
One sure thing, though, is if you're asking God, it's not going to come from the devil.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And there is a set of scripture that Keith uses that, because he got tripped by that right at first. And then he found this scripture that went, well, if you ask for bread, is he going to give you, you know, and if you ask for
I came out of the Church of Christ. That was my, the best of anything that I knew of. And we had a little Church of Christ, and I used to go there, and my brother was a Church of Christ minister. And anyway, and I used to listen to this fellow on the radio, and he was good. He was just a good preacher. And the day after I got filled with the Spirit, in the morning, as I was listening to him, and he said, if you speak in tongues today, it's of the devil. And you know what? It just blew me right out of the water. I had so much confidence in it. And I went down to, I worked at a place called Van Dyke Prison. And I was sitting there, and I did that day. I just didn't have much to do. I was sitting in the room, and I usually sat there and read the Bible. But on that day, I couldn't. Because I had just gotten something from the devil. And I opened the Bible. You know, you can't just open the Bible and get to the right spot. That's almost magic. But I opened the Bible to the 11th chapter of Luke, and it says in the 13th verse, it says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him?" And I thought, you know what? I wasn't asking the devil for this.
That's right.
I was asking God. And that was a story in itself. A lot of people get filled with the Spirit in a lot of different ways. And I had never heard of it. And a Lutheran minister from Minneapolis was out in Seattle. And Herbert Marud was his name. And he told the story of how he had gotten filled with the Spirit. And he had got removed from the church because he raised somebody from the dead. And with regular witnesses, with women who were nurses, right? What do you call them? Not just practicing nurses, but
registered
nurses. And they were waiting for an ambulance to come that never came. This woman had died in the service, and she'd been dead about an hour. She was cold as a cucumber, and he was praying in the front, praying for a line of people, and a lot of people got healed. And as he was praying for her, after he got through, he walked down to see what was going on, and they told her that she'd died in the service. And he said, he, you know, just like everybody else, what do you do with a dead person, you know? And he said he felt a strange thing come over him. And he put his hand on her and he started to pray for her and she came back to life. And to the astonishment of everybody, he told him, he said, "Now listen, we got enough problems." He said, "Don't say anything." "Well, how do you not say anything?"
That was really quite biblical.
Yeah.
Because that's what Jesus did. "Now, for whatever, don't tell anybody that you could not walk."
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. I don't know. A lot of people saw it like, "Good Lord."
Well, anyway, it didn't take long. And he got called on the carpet in front of a whole bunch of ministers. And he was at this meeting with 100 ministers. And they voted 100-0 to remove him from the pulpit. And so, but he was so popular, what did they do with him? So they made him a one-of-a-kind Lutheran evangelist. And he got a lot of people that went to his services, or his whatever they were. And I was down to a meeting down in Seattle Center. And he was down there telling about his, that what, how this had happened. And he says, "Hey, you want, anybody here want to be filled with the Spirit?" And I raised my hand. "Well, of course." Not having any clue. And so anyway, next thing I knew, some young guy came and like from here to Chuck and sat down in a chair by me and put his hand on my shoulder. And that's the last I remember for about an hour. And I really got zapped. And, but that's not common. That's an uncommon thing. I shouldn't even tell you about it because it seemed like that's what you can do, and you might.
And there are people who've gotten the Holy Spirit by walking around in the woods.
Yeah.
Just praying to God for it. So.
But
you don't have to go to a camp meeting. You don't have to talk to a guy that raised someone from the dead.
That was at the kitchen table.
It happens in as many ways as you can think of it can happen. So, and again.
But Brittany's speech in tongues is real fluently. And poor Kurt, he wants to, and he believes in it. But you know what? It's kind of like one of those things that you kind of, I'll tell you what happened to me. The night after I got filled with the Spirit, when I knew it was really true, Scott and Bonnie Hartley, the ones that gave me this Bible that I have, I got it in my bedroom, or in the bathroom. And anyway, I was at their house, and they were having a thing on, it was to raise money for the church, I don't know what you call it, a stewardship drive. And bring people in and so forth. And we didn't have a lot of people in the church, but we, you know. And we're sitting there, and you know what? There's no way I can talk about stewardship. All I can do is tell them what happened to me. And so finally Scott said, well, he says, "We're not going to get into stewardship." So he says, "Okay, go ahead and tell us about it." And they had a lot of confidence in me, you know, both Scott and Bonnie. They were good friends. And,
Somehow or other.
Anyway, that night, while Bonnie was sleeping, she got filled with the Holy Spirit. And it made Scott so jealous that he wanted it so bad that it wasn't long. He was filled with the Spirit. And my wife took a couple of days later, had taken either me to the bus or taken the kids to school. I don't know what she did. And on the way home, she's driving along and she got filled with the Holy Spirit. She's speaking in tongues and all of a sudden she looks in the mirror and there's the flashing lights of a squad car. And the guy pulled her over and right in front of our house. And he says, "You're driving kind of faster, weren't you, young lady?" And, you know, we were young then. And she says, "I could have been." She says, "I don't know what happened." But to know her, it makes a lot of difference if you would have known her. And she said, I just got filled with the Holy Spirit. I was speaking in tongues. And she said, "I don't know how fast I'm driving." And he was real silent. And he says, well, maybe you should go back and have another cup of coffee. And that was the end of it. Who knows if that's here going?
You know, we have a hard time accepting gifts. You know, we want to deserve it, or, you know, someone gives you something and you know what I mean? We have a hard time with that one, too. We think we need to deserve it. We think, you know, we try, so, you know. So it's hard to get your head into a receive a gift without deserving it
grace
kind of mode, you know? Yeah, right, grace. Yeah.
What
we have a hard time handling grace. Yeah,
I do.
Yeah. Yeah, you're certainly not uncommon to that.
Okay.
You know. There is, I think, in a minor way, it's kind of like walking on water. There is an element of, you know, walk on water. Again, it's minor. You're not going to sink or drown. But it's a dumb thing to do. You know, to have. Now, fact is, hey, the Lord can overcome whatever obstacles. If for whatever reason He's very anxious for you to be speaking in tongues, then whatever kind of obstacles you might throw up, He'll overcome those. And don't be. Oh, gee whiz, I'm undeserving. You know, it's a different kind of calculation.
Well, I don't dwell on that because I already know I'm undeserving. That's already been established.
Right.
We all
are. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, but to keep believing in that, it's going to dominate your...
Yeah, I know. You don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
Right. You admit that you're not and go on from there.
I remember at the time, first time I went up, went forward, you know, to an altar call. I don't know if I even particularly believed in God. But I responded to an altar call, and here, right over there, and I ended up speaking in tongues. That just first, you know, just other, you know. It occurred to me, you know, the tendency is, hey, I'm pretty good. It occurred to me later on. No, it wasn't that. It was that, hey, I just don't see the persistence in you, Charlie, this guy. You know, I don't think you'd stay with this thing unless you get it quick. So you follow what I'm saying?
Yep.
So almost it was my own personal weakness as opposed to something good about me or whatever that caused me to be able to speak in tongues. If it doesn't come right away, it is a kind of a measure of how long are you going to stay with this deal? Let's see. Let's just check that out. How long are you going to stay with this deal? And there is something now, good to speak in tongues, but there is something a little bit great about staying with this deal without exactly the payoff, you know?
Yeah.
So be a little bit alert to that.
Mm-hmm. You know? Patience is a virtue.
That's right.
I have none.
That's why I said that. I know.
I do notice that you are here. So,
one quick comment before we move away. Nobody who has received the gift of the Holy Spirit deserved it.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, nobody got it when they were perfect. They were all. Every one of them was a sinner.
Yeah.
And the Father has done it billions of times, or millions of times. I don't know how many people speak in tongues, but it's more than once. I mean, you know, so just, there's no justification for I'm not worthy, or I'm not good enough, or I need to take, this needs to be taken care of in my life. Mm-hmm. I need to have more patience before this could happen. None of that. That's just the enemy trying to hold you back. So, anyway, I'm sorry. I just thought that was important.
But I could, you know, I have a pretty good, not a top notch, but I have a pretty good understanding of it. And when we left Seattle, and I went down to the Pentecostal Assembly, and it's a Pentecostal church, and I found out that there were just only a handful of people who could speak in tongues. And so the pastor asked me if I would teach a course, and so I did. And I don't remember that much about it, but that's a problem. It's a problem in a lot of churches today. And why? What's the value of speaking in tongues? And the value is in the scriptures. You know, it's like he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Or he that speaks in an unknown tongue is praying in his spirit. That it means that you're praying. See, God is spirit. God is not a spirit, which it says in the King James, but God is spirit. And we went through that thing over and over and over a long time ago. But it says in the King James that he is a spirit. But it doesn't say that probably in some other translation.
In almost every other one.
Yeah, almost every other one that it says God is spirit. It's out of him came everything that exists.
Everything that ever was and everything that ever will be.
Yeah. And he created, how did he create us? He didn't have anything to go with. You know what I mean? Yeah. He made the molecules and all the different parts of the makeup of the world and whatever, just out of nothing.
It's all coded. It's all designed.
Yeah.
I use science to prove his existence because it's like, who wrote this code to tell this stuff to do this and do that? And
sure.
It's incomprehensible to us.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do believe that he is spirit.
That makes so much sense. If you stop and think. Because it says he's everywhere, always has been. How else? He's not, and he isn't a, because that would mean just some of.
Singular, others. Yeah.
He is. That's all he is. That's everything he is.
Everything that exists came out from him.
Mm-hmm.
I am the I am.
Yeah. Now, I hope it hasn't put you on the spot. But Glenn, are you, now, does this bother you talking about this a lot?
No, because I need it to. I'm listening.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and it's like, I don't want to browbeat anybody. I don't want to, you know. I just, now, and I used to have a different feeling about it. But now it's just like, as one brother to another, I just would love you to have it just because, you know. And that's all, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I realized something, too, Glenn, that it's a lot easier than what we think. that's why it's so difficult.
I got that approach.
Yeah.
What do you think of that, Glenn?
But you know what? It takes dedication too.
Yep.
It takes a lot of dedication.
Well,
unless it doesn't. Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of dedication.
Maybe not a lot, but you're gonna have to put something into it.
Well, you know, all it takes is you to be truthfully honest to God in asking.
I don't really think
I know, but nothing else.
You can't. There's no hard and fast rules about it.
Well, no, but you got to honestly ask. Or you got to ask more or less. I mean,
I don't think it's my particular agenda.
Well, you're odd, though, Chuck.
Well, I have not.
There's a lot of evidence that supports that. So.
Yeah.
As long as we got into this, here's what happens. I'll tell you what happens to me. When I start on this, the devil comes up and says, your past is holding you back. You've done something that you're not going to get it for. You know, he keeps, you know, I'm not saying, you know, like, your sins of the past, you know, did I do the wrong sin in my past? I don't know. You know, I mean, but this is what comes in, you know, your sins are killing you. You can't do it. Huh?
That's a demonic force.
I know that.
Yeah.
I know that. But this is what sears you up, what gets you off track. Because it's so hard, it hits you so hard telling you you're not worthy to get it, you're not going to get it. You know?
It's a never ending battle.
Yeah. I'll tell you.
Let me what they go through.
You know, Glenn, though, you have spiritual experiences. We have visions or dreams or whatever, and those things are obviously coming from the Holy Spirit. So it's not as though there is some kind of second-rate deal going on there. You have experiences I don't have here along those lines with we just have different paths. But do not let that get a hold of you, because you know what I'm talking about. You know the kind of experiences you've had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are
really
spiritual experiences.
Of all the ones that you know about, you've repented for?
Yes.
That you know about?
Yes. And I even, one time I wrote a prayer out, and I can't even find where I did with it, but it was a prayer given to me, and I said, Lord, I want you to search my heart in the darkest places there is.
Right.
Go down there and clean those things out, because I don't know, I don't remember them, I don't know what they were or what I did, but I need you to go in and clean them out. You know. So I have, yes.
And can I, here, P.S. And while you're doing that, please give me the Holy Spirit with the gift of speaking in tongues.
That wasn't on my mind at the time, I'll tell you. Because
no.
I was trying to get rid of hidden sins that were there that might be exposed. And sometimes I get one now and then.
You know, that's a worthwhile thing.
You know.
If you've done that, and you know that, you know that our Father's just, and you've repented, and He's forgiven you, and on top of that, He's thrown him into the sea of forgetfulness. So when the enemy comes along and says, well, you did something, and you go, yeah, but anything I've ever done, I've repented for even the things I don't remember, and I know the Father's forgiven me. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can water down the attack there. But you have to believe it, right? Charlie came close to saying something. I just want to make one quick comment. I often think that sometimes I need to exhibit a step of faith. God will meet me, but He doesn't always go across and pull me forward. But if I exhibit faith, I take that first step out on the water, as it were, He will meet me there. But if I don't take it, maybe He won't. Maybe He's waiting for you.
Well, you see, that's like that one thing I wrote, I'm standing in a field. And I see Jesus in the background, and He's coming towards me, and then all of a sudden He turns His back and walks away. Well, that wasn't Jesus standing in that field walking, turning His back, that was me. Mm-hmm. You know, on that last one, one of the last ones I wrote. Came to me, you know.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, I...
Because, I mean, I know you know. The enemy's still trying to come in.
For, well, or for whatever reason, in the little, you know, mysterious are the ways of the Lord. For whatever reason, I really do not think, Glenn, that it makes you some kind of, based on the experiences that you've shared, you're not, you know, and
it's possible, sir. I just haven't cleared
it. Certainly, me. I never cleared the deck of all the sins. Well, I was, you know,
the spirit seems strong in this one. To paraphrase.
The enemy preys off your natural mind, though.
Exactly.
Thinking that you are not salvageable. You are not.
Yeah.
The main goal is the destruction of you.
The best line is, God doesn't make junk.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you just say, the enemy comes along and says, you're not salvageable. You go, God doesn't make junk.
Yeah.
And he desperately wants the only thing that you can give God is your soul.
Yep.
Everything else he's got. He created it, made it. The only thing, you know, your soul. And that's what he's looking for. So, I don't mean to be flip, because I know both of you are sincere and want to move forward to this. But when I hear you talk, I go, that's the devil. That's the devil. The devil just trying to throw haymakers at you.
Yep.
So,
I suppose I'd be pretty much the same situation if I weren't speaking in tongues. You know, I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know that I'd be justified in having that kind of viewpoint if I,
yeah.
You know, for whatever reason, and it doesn't relate to merit, because it's not a merit deal.
Yeah. It isn't, no.
You know, we just have we all have our own ways, and like I say, there is something kind of great. Glenn, particularly, he's been at this thing for decades, mm-hmm. And look where he is. I remember praying for Glenn back in the 1970s. Maybe it was the 1980s, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, you know.
I've been around a long time.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was. I remember we had a repeat right after you were over.
Just tell you how far back to go.
Yeah.
In the upper portion up there, I helped tell Hank put the walls, frames up on the walls, Keith and I, one day.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, back then. Well, that's a long way back.
Yeah, all right. I don't know.
You know, I've been here, been there, you know, I mean, in and out, you know. But somehow, you wind up back.
It says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Why? God's a spirit. So over here in verse 14, yeah. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. But my understanding is unfruitful. You see those little things that we never notice?
Understanding is unfruitful?
Yeah.
Well, to take, as Charlie put it out, take Glenn's situation. He doesn't speak in tongues. So he's not praying to God. However, God gives him visions, or what you could say interpretations, and edifies all of us. And as Charlie's saying, I'd really rather have those sort of things, you know, than saying I'm speaking in tongues. I mean, because I'm right there with Charlie. I don't know. Glenn's much more spiritual than I am in many ways.
But in question that, unfruitful. Okay, if I pray any tongue, my spirit prays. Okay, you're not doing it. It's not you, physically you.
It's my spirit.
But my understanding is unfruitful because you don't understand what you're saying,
correct.
So you're not going to get anything out of it.
Okay.
I mean, you will get something out of it, but not what you're thinking you're going to get out of it.
I wonder if it's because I want to get out of it what I want out of it.
Well, that's...
That could be a hindrance.
Yes.
That could be a little bit of a...
Because you're saying, God, let me tell you how I'm going
to
do this.
Because I talk to him every day, and... I'm like, Lord, give me strength. Okay, never mind, Lord. Give me endurance instead.
Patience.
Yes, patience.
I do think you are entitled to say, Lord, what is up? Is there something
you want me to do?
Yeah, or what?
Reveal to me.
Or
reveal to me what I'm lacking.
Search out those dark
hidden places. Or do you have some other deal for me, which sure could be. You know, it could be a different, you know, thing.
Do it humbly instead of with wrath.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah, be looking for,
because, you know, do it with wrath.
I think you're entitled to be at least in some kind of way satisfied.
Okay.
With that, so, you know, kind of pursue what's up here. And gee, if there's something I should be doing or shouldn't do or whatever, let me know. It just doesn't, that doesn't make sense to me. Glenn's been taking inventory of all the black things that are in his life. And, you know, he went, I don't think that's the way of it. I just don't. That's not the way it works.
You want to hand them over.
You know, there's so much that is hard, but that is when failing is hard. Success is easy.
Yep.
It is so easy. Just so easy.
We learned an awful lot when we came
down to this. Yeah.
You know, the thing is, you can get the gift of the Spirit. Doesn't mean
his dad.
You got all cleaned up.
Oh, right.
Rust, you know. I've been dealing with stuff for 40 years.
Right.
And, you know.
Yeah. No, I was
as a young man.
No. I ain't going to spread sprout wings.
That's right.
No.
He was at the tail end of the Azusa Street revival. Azusa, was that in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was one of the biggest revivals that we've ever had in America. And people went all over the world because of it, but it had to do with speaking in tongues. And anyway, Russ wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. And it took him like 5 years. And because he had the same differences, questions and so forth. And but he prayed for lots and lots of people to get filled with the Spirit, and they did. Except
for him.
Except for him. But I don't think it's not as difficult as what we think. Not the way that Rodney and Joanne and Benny got it that time.
Well, sure, it's difficult if you can do it. That's really easy.
Yeah.
A little difficulty associated with not being able to do it. But
they'd pray for people and they'd say, well, just use some, you know, they'd offer some words. Mm-hmm. Use these words, use this, do this, whatever else. And the next thing they knew, it came out fluently.
That's the stepping out in faith part. Something.
Yeah, that's the faith
part. I think maybe, you know, you say I'm going to get okay, and then all of a sudden it takes off, you know.
Maybe, but then,
that doesn't,
you know, I don't, they're just plain are not hard and fast rules.
No, there aren't. Yeah, there isn't anything about getting saved.
That's
either.
Right.
Yeah, Rodney was my brother, and he was married to a woman named Betty, and I wrote him letters about what was happening. He was down
it's
in
like, you know what you said.
He was attending BART.
You asked the Lord later, and he'd get, well, I figured if I didn't get it right away.
And a little
that's how you, why you church.
Yeah, and they so, kicked her out of the church. And we know our daughter lives around here today, and she's a sweetheart.
A little sketchy.
And, anyway, and so because Jenny read the letter that I gave to Rodney, which meant nothing to Rodney, and she sat down and just cried because it gave her hope. See, And she came out to Seattle, and she heard speaking in tongues, and it was like it was a heavenly language to her. So I don't know that much more about it, but anyway, I'm not trying to be a problem or something, but that's not what this is. This is a gift.
Okay.
How much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those that ask?
At least they get to witness it.
Yeah.
That people have the gift.
Just want it.
Yeah, I do.
It'll come.
Yeah, and
sooner or later.
Yeah. And when
that's Glenn.
Usually when people do it, or when they're really sure they got it.
Should teach you, Glenn.
They give them a bill.
I wonder if it's to teach me patience.
I wouldn't even worry about what it is.
Okay.
I just keep asking for it.
Yeah.
Although it is, I mean, I do sympathize. Cause,
yeah.
Don't worry about it. How do you not work? It might be.
But at the same time, keep it in your mind. Keep talking about it.
I don't know.
He's going to be up at 3:30 tomorrow.
That's not a big deal.
I love you all.